This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we're here until 11 o'clock. We had some callers calling in about the TurboTax issue the other caller had, where he called the support line and talked to seven different people over there, and they couldn't help him solve his problem. We suggested he use another browser, and we probably would have solved it with that. But there's probably a more deep reason that we're hearing is the reason he's having trouble. And again, it has to do with security. So it looks like TurboTax wants you to lower your security further, having to do with your cookie settings. So it could be based on those. You've got some too restrictive blocks going on within your browser as far as how cookies are handled, and it's not allowing TurboTax to operate. Now we have another caller on the line who also had a similar problem, and maybe he'll agree with that or have another solution. John, you still there? John, you there?
I'm here. It's John here.
Yeah, so how did you solve your TurboTax logon problem?
Okay, well, I was a little more fortunate. Fortunately, I wanted to get the disk because last year I had gotten TurboTax online and downloaded it, and it was a little clunky, but it worked okay. Same computer, same... Windows 10, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
This year, I decided I want the disk.
Yep.
And there were only a few few stores that had it nearby. Mm-hmm. There was one in Manchester, so I said, okay, I'll have it delivered.
Yeah.
Came the next day. Fine.
Yeah.
And it said download in one of two ways.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'd already paid for it, I didn't have to go through all this stuff with passwords and this kind of thing.
All right.
So I tried to install the disk as I wanted to do.
Yep.
And it kept telling me that it could not find a DLL file.
Hmm.
That is msvcp140.dll.
Uh-huh.
And so I checked. I looked in Windows 10. Sure enough, it was there.
Yep.
As it always had been. So there was some glitch. So I said, well, okay, the disk installation is not working. On my older computer, which is Windows 10, but it's, it's got the slow spinning drive.
Yep.
It installed just fine from the disk.
Okay.
But not on this one, which is only 2.5 years old.
Right.
It's got a good... hard drive.
Yep.
So what I did was download it, and that worked routinely because fortunately my package said install one of two ways.
Yeah. So you didn't really have the same problem, John, as the other guy then. He couldn't get past the authentication. It kept looping him around. You had no trouble with that, right?
It wasn't exactly the same problem. No. I could tell that because I was listening earlier.
Yeah, but your point is well taken. How many problems does it take to pay your taxes? So, you know, the real solution we should be talking about is a flat tax, but we won't go there. So we should just be able to have a nice flat tax, call it a day, and we should have spend much more time productively doing something other than paying our taxes. But in your case, you had a DLL issue. So did you paid your taxes on the other computer?
I haven't done it. I haven't paid it yet. Oh. But I wanted to get it in early December.
Yeah.
So I could do... a pro forma thing on guesstimating all of the different components of common deductions so that I'd know, you know, how much I might have to pay additionally in January.
Yeah.
So it's important to me to
be prepared.
A good rough thing
before
the 15th of January.
Sounds good.
I wanted such a hurry, but I haven't done it yet. I won't be able to finish it until the middle of February when I receive more stuff that I
right
1099s, all that stuff.
I hear you. Well, we appreciate your input there, John.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
You guys are great. Thanks very much for all you do.
Our pleasure. Thank you. And you're great, too, for being out there listening to us.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, so much time we spend trying to figure out paying our taxes.
Oh, and one thing about missing DOLs.
Yeah.
Now that he brought that up.
Yeah.
It used to be a more common thing, but mm-hmm. you still see it once in a while.
Yeah.
And what do 99% of people do?
Right.
They search Google for that DOL.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
they look for it.
Don't do that.
Do not.
Don't do that.
Please, for... just don't ever do that.
Right.
Because any site that's offering you DOLs to download
right.
is got an added payload in those, it's and you don't want it.
It's malicious. So I think our other caller solution is really the key here, is to lower your security and don't have your cookies be unblocked, and that should probably work. All right, let's get to your calls further. We're going to go to Craig, who's been on the longest. What's happening there, Craig?
Hello there. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
Again. Hey, quick question here.
Uh-huh.
I had brought my computer in to have it repaired because I had been hacked, back in September.
Oh, boy.
Whoa.
And I was away for a few months. But in the meantime, I brought my computer in to have it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And,
to the local computer hut?
Yes.
Yep.
And they did a lot more work than you thought they needed to do.
Oh, boy.
And they charged me an exorbitant amount of money. Which you were aware of.
Oh, gotcha.
And the whole scheme, we had talked about it when I called earlier.
Oh, were you the crypto guy?
Yeah.
Oh, we still talk about you. I hope everything's okay.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry.
And so the point being that, I did... go along with what this guy said.
Right.
At the time, you thought it was an exorbitant amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted cash, but, I was desperate.
Yep.
So I let him do whatever he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I have my laptop back.
Yep.
He told me what he did.
Right.
Which didn't seem like it really needed to be done.
Right.
But what he did was he put a new... SSD hard drive in it,
all right.
which was one of the things, put everything back on my computer.
Yep.
But right now, one of the little things
mm-hmm.
that's bothering me is my taskbar does not disappear anymore. And when I did it before, it seemed so simple. I Googled on it, and everything seems to be so convoluted on how to make this happen. I decided to call you.
All right. So you want us to help you hide your taskbar?
Yeah. I mean, it just, yes.
All right.
So when I wasn't using it, it would disappear on the bottom.
When you weren't using it, it would disappear. But how would you know? It's like a tree falling in the forest.
all I would do is bring my mouse down. And when I brought my mouse down to the bottom of the page, it would come back up.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Here's the magic. Okay. It's not convoluted. It takes a couple steps, but it's not convoluted. Mm. You're going to right-click anywhere on the taskbar that's empty, and then you're going to click a little cog that says Taskbar Settings.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's going to bring you to a settings page for that. At the bottom of that, or near the bottom, there is a little pull-down called Taskbar Behaviors.
Mm.
You're going to click that so that you can get those options. And then you can click on an option that says automatically hide the taskbar.
There you go.
Okay. I'm writing this down as you're saying.
Oh.
I don't write very quickly.
That's okay. We are podcasted. You're recorded. You can hear the whole call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I find an empty spot
yep.
in the taskbar.
Yep.
I right click on it.
Yep.
Then I go to
taskbar settings.
Taskbar settings.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was after that?
All right. You're going to click on a little bar that says taskbar behaviors.
Okay. I'm there. Yep.
And then there will be a checkbox for automatically hide the taskbar, and you can just check that.
And we'll put a link out there too.
Yeah. We got a link for that too.
Yeah.
But
which leads me to, once again, I really appreciate you're sending me that article about the woman that this happened to down in Alabama or something like that.
Yep.
That was informative, but luckily she called the police right away, and the sheriff went over and took all the money out of the Bitcoin machine and gave it to her. And now the sheriff is suing
is getting sued.
The company is being they're suing the sheriff.
Right.
I find that really odd.
I know. I know.
Now, another question is, could Malwarebytes have taken care of all of this? Because he told me it was a Trojan horse.
Possibly, yes. Malwarebytes.
It might have, but I neither one of us would be able to tell you that with any real certainty.
Right. What you want to do is be more preventative in the first place. So the idea being, you know, careful with links, careful with the email that you're opening that has links in it. Careful browsing, surfing. Make sure you're using OpenDNS so you're on a little more safer internet rather than the internet at large. Those types of things. But a Trojan horse, yes. I mean, who knows how you encountered it or applied it to your system? But that's it might have been able to help you if it detected it.
Well, when I Google on something, I mean, when I don't use Google, but I use DuckDuckGo.
Mm-hmm.
But when I search for something, and then, you know, the whole list of websites, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And next to each website, it has, you know, a green icon,
mm-hmm.
Which means, in theory, it's safe. So I only go to the safe ones. If they don't have a green icon next to it, I won't go to it.
Okay.
But it sounds like what you've just given me for instructions is so much easier than what I found on the internet.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I'm slowly getting it back.
All right.
You know, because even the Windows button on the lower left-hand side, when I click that, everything that comes up looks foreign to me compared to the way it used to be. So I guess it's just a matter of getting used to it.
All right. Yeah.
And, hey. Yep.
No, go ahead, Gary. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, hey, thanks a lot for taking my call. You made it very easy, and thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. All the best to you, sir.
Okay. Okay, you guys.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. Jeff in Middletown, hang on. And then now we got four lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 860-522-984.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot.
As Norm would say, it's a doggy dog world, and I'm wearing milk bone underwear. So, I don't know if I told you the story, but we had a technician who started listening to the program, and his girlfriend was listening to it, and that cracked her up. She thought it was my own. Well, that Eric's kind of funny. No. That would be cheers. So funny. All right, so we're going to get to your calls here. Couple lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. And let's go to Jeff in Middletown. What is happening, Jeff?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Doing fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick question. This is about four calls ago. A gentleman was talking about how he had a C and a D drive.
He has a C and a D drive, and he was running out of space on a C, so he wanted to relocate some of his data to the D.
Here's a question. There's somebody whose name I'm going to omit to protect the guilty, but he bought a used computer, and I'm not a big fan of doing that only because unless it's a factory refurb, you know, you don't know what kind of maniac owned it before you had it. So I don't like
doing that. Yeah.
Right.
He did this in any case.
Here's
a question. With the other gentleman, were these two actual physical drives or were they two logical drives? Meaning, did somebody partition a C into a D? Because I think that's the problem that I have with this person I'm mentioning. And wouldn't it be easier if that was the case to just go into the partition tool and make one big C drive?
Yeah, I mean, you can mess with all that stuff. So your question of logical versus physical is a good one, right? So there's most likely it was one physical drive with two logical partitions. So yes, you can go ahead and try to change all the geometry. But so if you think about it, though, there's a practical problem sometimes with it, where that you only have x number of bytes of space. So imagine if you wanted to like refurnish your floors in your house, right? You can move all the furniture into one room. What happens if you can't fit it all into one room? Same idea happens when you try to do that kind of changing of the partitions on the computer. It's usually not worth it. There are tools out there that do that, and I think Microsoft has its own built-in tools to do it,
they
too.
They do. There's also a way to take two drives, physical drives, and make them look like one. And it's not RAID. It's a different logic, but it's similar.
Extends the volume.
Yeah.
So, I mean, only if you're really having a space issue, you could do that. But I would tell you not to mess with it. It's just you got something better to do. Relocate. If you want to relocate some of the files, like we talked about earlier with the earlier caller, to a larger partition, that makes sense. But the moment you try to combine them all, or you need to have enough space to do it in the first place, and it's usually not worth it.
Right. And if you've already got stuff that was installed and it's looking for that other drive letter, you know, all that's going to break. And you remember I was talking about all the housekeeping.
Right.
The earlier caller is going to have, well, you don't know what's looking at drive D.
Right.
So who knows what you're going to break if you do that.
Yeah, what are you trying to fix, I guess, Jeff?
Well, here's the problem with this gen. He bought this used machine.
Right.
It's a very small C drive, which holds Windows, but not much else. And he's got this voluminous D drive that he's got, a couple of or three gigs of space on empty.
Yeah.
And I think trying to get out of this guy, whether it's logical or physical drives, he just doesn't know. He's not a computer whiz.
Right.
So, so what I was thinking is, in this case, or even for the gentleman you were helping, it might, if you have the free real estate, it might be easier just to get into the Windows partition tool and make one big C drive out of it, because at least in my case, and I haven't looked at the machine yet, that's going to be in a couple weeks.
Right.
It sounds to me like that's the best option is, if you've got three or four gigs free.
Well, terabytes, you mean, right? Or do you mean gigs?
Terabytes. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I said the wrong thing. He's got a big drive in there, except it's been, I think, partitioned into one teeny tiny one for Windows.
Right.
And he's trying to do updates to Windows 11, and it's giving him gas about not having enough space to do it.
Yeah. And believe it or not, it's probably, the partition was probably configured within Windows recommendations.
I believe it. I'm always skeptical on anything that comes out of Redmond.
Yeah. So, are you a good friend of this guy?
Yeah, he's a family member. So.
All right. So here's the thing. You got some risk here. You have two choices. You can do your reallocation of the entire drive based on the real estate available, but you're gonna now produce a whole lot more calls with your family member because of all the other things that's going to break. But you have a problem updating it too. So you're kind of a rock in a hard place here.
Yeah.
Put it this way, the broken links I'll deal with because it's important to get your security updates.
And you're not wrong.
True.
All right. So then you've got your approach. You're going to expand that volume, right?
I think that's what I'm going to do. Again, I have to actually look at the thing and see.
Cause
for all I know with his sketchy description, it could be two physical separate.
Right.
Tell you about it.
Yeah, and we'll put some links up there as far as best practice for you on that. But, hey, man, best of luck to you.
Thanks, Jets. Appreciate it.
You got it, Jeff. All right, talk to you soon. So, when you're starting to mess with drives, it's always a risk. So make sure you back up those partitions before you do it.
Yeah.
And then
Back up the entire computer.
That whole thing.
Get an image of the entire drive.
Right. And then he's going
to both drives.
He's probably going to blow away that entire D partition and then expand the C and then produce a new D. I mean, that's an approach. There's many approaches. We're going to step out for a quick break. Ed, hang on. A couple lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And when we are back, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And let's get right to your calls here. We're going to go to, I guess, Ed has been on there longest in Wallingford. What's going on, Ed?
Yes, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I know a few weeks ago someone called about the home base units to get rid of the copper phone lines.
Yeah, there's a service out there that's trying to get rid of your copper lines, acting like it's going to be still a copper line, but it's really a cell service.
Right.
Okay, well, I've done a little bit of research on that myself, and I think I found a good solution here through Consumer Cellular. I can mention names, right?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
And they have it sounds like the exact same thing. It's called the Cellular Verve, V-E-R-V, Home Base Unit. And I called them, and they have a promotion on where instead of paying the $89 for the unit, they will send it for just the cost of the shipping.
Right.
And they want to charge me $15 a month plus tax to get rid of the $65 a month Frontier phone line that I have.
Yeah. Well,
and this thing works like a cell phone, like you said, right?
Exactly. So basically, it's a cell. What they're doing is they're saying they can sort of emulate cellular. They can sort of emulate copper lines, but they're not really telling you it's cellular until you go onto their website and figure that out. And you basically then are able to, I guess, plug in your old style phone into this base unit, and then it acts like you got the old yellow rotary dial phone on the wall there connected to a copper unit, even though it's really not. It's a little bit of an intermediary step, I guess, but the irony of it all is you're going to cellular. So if you have a cell phone already, the part I don't understand is why people still want that old technology or the old phone. I'm not sure I understand what I'm missing when you have the cell phone already. Most people do.
Well, in my case, I have my business cards, and I have both numbers on there, and I don't want to have a number that's no longer active, so I want to keep that number.
You can. You can with your cell phone. You can keep that number. You can use a Google Voice. You can go ahead and everybody's got a Google Voice number account, whether you wanted it or not, pretty much. And you just set up a Google Voice forwarder where your number, your old landline number, let's say it's 123-456-78. You just configure that for a Google Voice. When somebody dials that number, it forwards to your cell. Problem solved. It's doing exactly what, and it's free, by the way.
What's that called again?
Google Voice. It's a voice over IP approach to solving this versus having all. It's kind of what you're describing is a little Rube Goldberg to me. You're go ahead and buying a cell box that's going to connect to the cellular service, and then physically connect to your old phone, just to keep the number. You don't need to do any of that. Just configure the Google Voice. Take a look at it. Configure the Google Voice with the number you want. Port it over to Google Voice. Now when people call, it's going to ring the Google Voice. Tell Google Voice to ring your cell. You're done.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And it didn't cost you anything, and you saved $69, period.
Yeah, and then it's just that Frontier, I mean, they went up so high on that basic phone line.
Right, because they want you to get rid of it because they don't want to keep maintaining the old copper.
Okay. Now, one quick question here. Internet.
Yeah.
What was that? GoNet speed?
GoNet speed, yep.
Yeah, and I keep checking, and they're still not in Wallingford. And I'm wondering, is there any possibility they're going to get into Wallingford?
You have a new mayor now, right?
Yeah.
You guys have your own power company, you guys recently sold it, right?
Well, it's still Wallingford Electric Division.
Okay, so the only reason I can think Wallingford hasn't got GoNet Speed in there is because you guys want to do it yourselves, like you did with your power. And so all you need to do is reach out to folks like GoNet Speed and say, hey, why can't we get Wallingford Power to run the lines with GoNet Speed and have a private-public partnership in the same way Whip City Fiber did it up there in Massachusetts. You know, they have their own power company, and they said, let's get in the internet business because they're on the poles anyways. So you just need to come up with talk to the new mayor and say, hey, mayor, let's get this going. We have our own power company. Let's just have them do internet too.
So they're not buying into like Frontier or anything where Frontier put in all the fiber optics 2 years ago throughout my neighborhood and all over town.
Well, they're trying to. Frontier was being proactive to try to prevent.
Oh, see, I thought that maybe this company was just buying into their fiber optics.
No, they run their own lines.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting thing. They definitely got to get rid of Comcast.
Sure, and there's many options out there. Even wireless, you can do cellular. You can use T-Mobile wireless, like we talked about earlier. There's all sorts of options, thankfully, finally.
Okay, well, I got to look into all that. But thanks for your input on this telephone thing.
Yeah, check out Google Voice. All right, Ed? All right, so he's going to go ahead and possibly configure Google Voice. So just so you guys understand, I mean, if you want to keep your old copper number, you can practically for nothing by just doing the Google Voice approach that I talked about. If for some reason you want to have your old, you know, like we had when we were kids, the yellow phone on the wall with the rotary dial, your finger would get all beat up as you're ringing it and you'd slip off and it'd roll back and you're like, oh, and you had the big long cord that you'd have to go walk out to the greenhouse to talk to your girlfriend on around the corner. If you still want that technology, then you have to use the cellular base and then have it plug into your old phone. But if it's all about the number and you own a cell phone, you don't need to do all that, right? And even if you don't want to use Google to have that solution, there's all sorts of solutions out there that are voice over IP where you would forward that number. If you want to use UMA, UMA would be a great alternative. You're just going to pay the federal taxes on that. I don't even think you're paying anything on the Google Voice number.
I have a Google Voice account that I set up years ago and I have a phone number there.
Right.
I haven't paid them anything for that.
No. And so if someone calls it, you've got it configured to ring somewhere.
Ka-ching.
Right to your cell phone.
It goes right to, cell phone right here.
Cost you nothing. So there's easier ways. I know it may sound complicated, but the solutions that folks are talking about are more complicated than that. So we'll step up for a quick break. Nancy, hang on. A couple lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. And we are back. Get to your calls here. Nice to know you guys were great joining us on this lovely Saturday morning here in New England. And without you guys calling in, Dennis would talk. We'd be talking about our kids and our cats. Actually, in this case, my sick dog. I'd be talking about him.
Oh,
keeping
poor
us up
guy.
All night for the past 3 nights. Yay! Yeah, when they give you the term "sick as a dog," now I really understand that. Oh my goodness! I never got it until the past 3 days. So let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Nancy out there in Manchester first. What is happening, Nancy?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I've been a long-time listener and just not able to get in, but just real quickly,
sure.
I wanted to, first of all, give confidence to anybody that's been thinking about cutting the cord and kicking cable to the curb in terms of the TV.
Yeah.
I did it myself, which really amazed me, about maybe 3-4 years ago. I'm like 70 years old now, and I love it. I've been using YouTube TV, which has been very good until last year, and I do have to kind of correct you guys. We do not have SNY. They canceled SNY on us last year.
Yeah, I know. We know.
Oh.
Well, I know, but I've heard you say not even that long ago that they still had it, but they do not.
I see.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So I was very dismayed this year because I'm a big UConn basketball fan that I couldn't see my women's games.
Oh, yeah.
Like 17 games this year.
Mm. Yep.
But anyway, if people go to the UConn Athletics website and look up the women's basketball, there's articles each week, you know, what the upcoming games are. And at the end of the article, they mention that you can stream it. Well, you can't stream SNY directly because you have to have a cable provider.
Mm, right.
But they mention FoxSports.com now.
Okay, yeah, a lot of the men's basketball games are carried there, and I think some of the football games.
Well, I was amazed at myself again because then the other thing I want to say, too, not to jump around, is it really helped because I bought myself a Roku-enabled TV.
Yep.
The Roku TV is great because then you don't have to bother with the box and you don't have to connect a cable directly from your laptop or computer.
Right.
Just be in proximity to your Wi-Fi router. But I was able to get the Fox Sports app, and I've been able to see the UConn games. The
nice.
Women's games.
Great.
on SNY. They are carrying them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they're carrying also the games that are through Fox. And like tonight, there's a big, huge game with UConn women on Fox, regular Fox channel TV, which, of course, I'll be able to see. But, yeah. Cool. Yeah, so, I mean, you just, it takes a little bit, but I was so thrilled that I could download the Fox Sports. It's Fox Sports app.
Yep.
And then you just go to it, and it, you go down, click, you know, check the upcoming games, and they carry a lot of different college games, men's and women's, but they definitely even show in the UConn women.
Yeah. So basically, Fox Sports said, "We're not going to bother with the middleman. We're going to we can stream this stuff too."
Well,
and
I
now
guess.
The technology
I
is
don't
there.
Know what their affiliation is with SNY Direct. You know,
I don't know
in that case. But I have a friend that lives in Florida, and they moved from here, and of course, we're very sad because they can't get SNY down there. It's regional. And I haven't had a chance yet to tell her to try this.
Yeah,
but the first key for anybody that's going to cut the cord is maybe try to get a Roku-enabled TV or maybe an Apple TV or something. That helps.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah.
And the other thing is I did look into Fubo.
Yeah.
I was going to maybe switch over to them for the season. And I found that for YouTube TV, at least on their website, you can pause their service. For 4 weeks to 6 months, it says.
Oh, interesting.
And it'll pause at the end of your current billing cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you resume it, it'll be going back to being billed at the normal monthly charge. What I don't know is whether you have to pay still a reduced price or if they cut off your billing, which I would hope they would.
Yeah, it sounds great. You're next level hacking this thing.
Yeah.
That's great.
And, the only problem is once the YouTube is paused, YouTube TV, you have no access to it. You can't go back and look at any of the things that you've saved because their DVR is awesome.
Yeah,
I can't even tell you how much I record.
Right.
Those are saved, but you can't look at them, of course, when it's paused. And Fubo, it's a little bit more expensive. I think the YouTube TV with tax, my bill is like $77 and change, and the Fubo says the base is $74.99 and the elite is $84.99.
Right. So if you want Nessun.
The other thing about Fubo is any Red Sox fans, I don't know why they still would be because I kicked them to the curb. But anyway, you can get Nessun.
Right.
And I know some of the UConn hockey games now, the men's hockey games are being broadcast on Nessun or their Nessun Plus or whatever it's called.
Yeah, you should start a Facebook page. Some sort of you've done a lot of research.
I'm anti Facebook.
Start a website, but you've got some good information.
Actually, I've been listening to the show and having people call up and say, "Is there anybody that could help me do this?" It's like, oh God.
There you go, Nancy.
Know.
It's a new way to a new business Maybe. For you.
Yeah, start a new business. Yeah, but I don't know. But anyway, just some little bit of tidbits.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
I don't know. I'm hoping UConn. Somebody will wake up, and I don't know how much longer the contract they have for the women with SNY is going on, but it'd be nice if they would kind of choose somebody else because at least the men's games are on Fox primarily.
Yep.
Yeah, and both teams are doing fantastic this year, so it's great.
It's good basketball.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, and the hockey team's playing today against Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac.
Oh, God, that just rankles my nerves every time I hear everybody say that.
I'm just kidding. All right, Nancy.
I know. Well, anyway, and have a great rest of your weekend. And anytime you want to talk about your cats, that's okay, because I have a cat. I'm a cat person.
Awesome. Yeah, you and Dennis will get along.
And good luck with your dog.
Thank you.
Okay,
all right,
take
bye,
care.
Bye, Nancy.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, she's hacking the system. She's pausing services. She's bringing on other services. You got to go figure out where your content is. You know, the cable companies used to say, hey, they had that monopoly, right? They'd bundle it all together. You can get it all here. But it's a car payment to have a cable service with TV. I mean, it's ridiculous. So now we have to go hunt and peck and figure it out. And again, the YouTube TV, Fubo, the fact that Fox Sports app is saying, you know what? If you just want our content, go to our app. They're going to cut out these aggregators anyways. The aggregators like YouTube and those folks have the servers and the bandwidth, right, to deliver the stream. But it, as you're seeing over and happening now is the actual channels themselves are getting the broadcast capability in them in themselves. They don't need to go to an aggregator like YouTube TV or Fubo or what have you. They can just say, look, just put our app on your TV. Yes, you're going to have 60 bazillion different apps eventually where you're going to pick and choose your content, but that can work, right? Isn't there wrong with that?
No.
Why not? So we'll see what happens as this all continues to unfold. Let's go to who's on the longest here? Nick in Enfield on the longest. What's happening, Nick?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I'm trying to scan some photographs that I have. Some are black and white, mostly color, and then plug them into one of the drugstore devices so I can make some copies. And I'm not having success. Can you suggest a plan for that?
Well, they're using like a USB stick to carry them over there, or
yes.
All right. Well, what is it that's not working out of that process?
Well, I scanned them as a PDF, and I guess it doesn't read PDFs.
Right. That'd be your first problem.
Oh, that might be a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. You should be able to choose JPEG.
JPEG or JPEG. Possibly TIFF.
Yeah.
GIF or JPEG?
Well, it'd be .jpg or JPEG, and then TIFF files will either be .tif or .tiff.
Okay.
And they might be able to print PNG files, too.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, okay. That should be easy to change.
Yeah, that wasn't an option on my scanner, but maybe I'll try to find another scanner.
I'd be shocked.
I would be absolutely surprised if that scanner only saves in PDF.
Yeah.
There has to be another format that they do. Has to be. Literally. You might have to dig around in the settings for it.
Yeah.
What's the model?
Okay. All right.
Oh.
I'll try it again.
Yeah.
There was a caller earlier who was talking about using up his C space and transferring to D.
Mm-hmm.
I found that when I was just saving things, eventually it was going to OneNote, and then they wanted me to subscribe. So what I did was I just selected D, and I've been saving everything to D.
Yep, that's a great way to
work.
Do it.
That'll work just fine.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You got it, Nick. Good luck. Yep.
Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye. Most tools will give you some options on formats, unless it's a super old scanner.
Well, not even a super old scanner is only going to do PDF, because the rendering software, they have to get that licensed from Adobe.
Right.
They have to pay for that.
Right.
For that if they want to render in other formats like JPEG and TIFF, they don't have to pay any licensing for that.
Yeah, that's why it's most likely available.
Yeah.
All right, let's try to get this last caller in here. Doug, it's going to be real quick, Doug. What can we do for you?
Oh, hey there. Thanks. What would be my first step to cut the cord on my very expensive cable bill? And then maybe you might have time to give me a second step.
First step is to find an alternative internet provider in your area. So it says you're from Waterbury. So you want to go see if GoNetSpeed is in your area, or if T-Mobile is in your area, or Verizon.
Or Frontier Fiber.
All those alternatives to your current incumbent cable service. That's step one. Once you've chosen that, then you look at step two, where you're going to get your content from. And that's what we just talked about with Nancy. Fubo, YouTube TV, Sling, all sorts of alternatives out there. But step one, figure out who you're going to get your internet from, Doug, okay? It's all based on where you were. Yep. Hello?
Is he there?
Yes. Spell Fubo.
F-U-B-U. F-O-B-U. No, I'm not even sure anymore.
F-U-B-O.
There it is. All right, Doug, we got to go. You got it, sir. I want to thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Thank you, Carolyn, for producing. Mike G for posting everything on our Facebook page.
And remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
We'll see you guys next Saturday.